opportunity for us knocks today. We got a chance to be at the top of this division today. Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today. When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say how. Who are we, Saints? 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 This is New Orleans! Oh, oh, oh! Let's go, baby! Let's go! We don't
welcome, everyone. Welcome once again. It's another Friday. Another Friday afternoon here in California. And it's almost dinner time on the West Coast for Eric Williams. Isn't that right, Eric?
I don't know what you're talking about. West Coast. I'm on the East Coast.
Oh, you're on the East Coast. My bad. My bad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's almost dinner time
West
for
Coast
you over there.
Like one, yeah, it's like almost dinner time over here. It's like 4 o'clock over here. What's going on, Matt? How you doing?
Good, man. Good. How was your week?
Great, you know, working a lot of, you know, dealing with some dumb stuff, chilling out. Yeah, pretty much, just hanging out, working.
doing some dumb stuff, huh? Does that mean we're going to see you on World's Wackiest Videos or something like that?
No, that would be only you.
No, you would never catch me on one of those video shows.
Why not? You make money, make $100,000 or whatever they say.
Yeah, I guess so.
What are you drinking over there? Drinking a soda?
Yes, I am.
What are you drinking?
Root beer.
Root beer.
It does the body good.
I guess, what are you drinking? Coke product or a Pepsi product?
No, it's root beer. It's its own brand.
Oh, root beer. Okay.
Yeah.
Way and W?
No, that's crap root beer. That's not real root beer.
Okay.
Tell about the Mug brand, Mug Root Beer.
Mug. Okay, that's Pepsi brand. But yeah, how was your week?
Very good. went by really fast, which is what I like. I like to get here on Friday.
Right, right. Me too. Got a day off this today, you know, Friday. We have a big show today.
Yes, we do. Very big show. I can't believe it. It's already Friday.
Yeah,
man. And you're probably going to go swimming all day tomorrow because it's Saturday.
I got a lot of work. I got some fucking work to do tomorrow, so yard work to do tomorrow.
Oh, yard work. You're going to mow the lawn and trim the trees and
yeah,
pull the weeds out?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, man.
All right.
But we have a big show tonight. At 4:30, we're going to be joined by doing our UWA Elite segment, and we're going to be hopping on the UWA Elite Heavyweight Champion, Sean Davidrick Nellis. He will defend the belt Saturday, this coming Saturday at Crossroads, which will be the worldwide premiere of Crossroads online, and we'll be able to see if he pulls out his victory against Arcadia in the main event, or not in the main event. I don't even know if it's the main event, but he will be defending the belt and talking about Crossroads and promoting that, you know, because it's going to be debuting tomorrow at 7 p.m.
And anyone can watch it for free online?
Right, UWAElite.com. We're going to be talking about his career. I have a page of notes already. So this is pretty much going to be one of those long interviews. So, you know, at 4:30, sit back, relax, listen to the UWA, you know, Elite segment that we're going to have.
Yeah. But first, we got to check this out. Well, the wholesome folks at AshleyMadison.com, the site that wants you to cheat on your significant other, somehow polled over 13,000 women on which famous athletic women would most like to cheat on their husbands with. The top of the list was David Beckham. Among NFL players, Tim Tebow and Tom Brady also made the top list. I mean, you're probably listening to this, and if you're a guy, you're probably thinking, man, I hope my wife's not thinking about marrying some NFL player. Well, like I just said, Tim Tebow and Tom Brady made the top list on this website.
Wow. So who we got? Yeah, who we got in the chat room today? Let's check the chat room out. Who's the chat room? The chat room wrap up for the week. Who we got in there?
We'd like to welcome guest 2188 and guest 2191, and of course our good friend DDP.
Going on, DDP. Bang. Anyway, that's the chat wrap up for this week. As of next week, we're going to be doing a new segment. I didn't even tell Matt about this. Matt was sleeping all day.
Wait, you're throwing a new segment on the lead host?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, honestly, it's beneficial for us as a sports opinion show. Next week, we're going to be debuting, well, with our new partners over at rfvideo.com. Rob Feinstein will be joining us every Friday to talk about his latest releases with DVDs, shoot interviews, all that stuff. He'll be doing about a 10-minute segment every Friday here on the Sports Opinion Show. And, yeah, it should be good.
Awesome, awesome. Because, you know, I've heard from a few people that I know, especially the one and only, of course, he's retired now, Vic Grimes. I hang with him once in a while. He did tell me when I was on that little vacation trip, and he was a part of that trip with us, with some guys, that our video, they do produce, and they have independent DVDs. I'm like, okay, thanks for telling me. So that's going to be good starting next week.
Right.
Maybe I can get a huge discount now.
What was that?
I said maybe I can get a huge discount from RF Video on some independent stuff.
You're fucking right. You're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. Are you also later on? We'll be joined by Drunk Eric, and the drunk segment will be joining us.
We're not doing no drunk segment here on the Sports Opinion Show. People don't come here for that. They come here for the sports and everything else in between that we do. But it does not include being drunk.
Oh, come on, man. I'm already drinking, so. Hey, anyway, We'll also be joining. We'll also be doing a Food Network show.
Well, I hope everybody got their snacks with them too. Don't just be drinking a drink by your without nothing to snack on. You know, like cheese it.
I know. And all the single ladies, you know, cook me up some food and send it to me. And Matt, maybe you can send Matt out some food if you want. But all the single ladies in the chat room, go check that out.
Well, it's hard to say if they're ladies or not. So.
Wow. All you got to do is look underneath their skirts. I mean, whoop.
Wow.
Anyway, we got to be professional as we can be.
Yeah.
We're just having a little fun here. But yeah, I'm just, you know, getting ready for another fun, exciting weekend. Psych. Usually my weekends are pretty boring. What do you got coming up this weekend?
I don't know yet. I don't know. We'll see about if
any wrestling
my friend...
shows this weekend?
No, not this weekend.
No?
Well, I should check out some of my wrestling promotions out here and see if there's anything going on tomorrow.
Yeah, you should.
Yes.
Yeah, you should. Say, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's take an imaginary trip to New York for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in the New York area, you probably didn't realize this week that your driver was a famous sports celebrity driving a taxi cab all over New York City. Can you guess who that was, Eric?
I don't know. Who was it?
Well, if you're a person traveling by taxi cab in New York City, or you live in New York City and you take taxi as your public means of transportation to work or wherever, your cab driver this week was, and you didn't recognize him. Everybody didn't recognize him. I can't believe that they didn't recognize who they were in the car with. Who was your driver? It was none other than NFL superstar Drew Brees. The bad news, he only wanted to talk about concussions. Kind of a bummer. But they said that he was actually a really, really good...
Wait, what?
Cab driver.
Wait, why the hell do you only want to talk about concussions?
It's a sarcastic thing I put in my notes.
Oh, okay. Not funny, Matt. Not funny.
And
I just walked outside.
That...
Real quick, I just walked outside. I'm going to tell you right now. Holy shit, it's hot outside. Just walked out for a second. Grabbed my phone charger out of the car. And yeah, it's fucking hot out.
Got to welcome Xavier Ford into the chat room. How you doing? So, Eric, you were giving us your PA weather announcement, right?
Oh, so fucking hot out today. I don't know why the hell it's so hot out. I don't understand it sometimes.
We now have guest 2217 in the chat room. Chat room is slowly but surely filling up.
Hey, everybody should just register on whatsupradio.com. If anybody didn't catch what I said at the top of the hour, we're going to be doing our UWA Elite segment around 4:30. We're going to be having on the UWA Elite Heavyweight Champion, Sean Damage McNellis. Talk about, among other things, his success in UWA and a bunch of other different things. Go over to UWAElite.com for more information. As you can hear, Matt
yes.
is actually going to the website as we speak.
No, I'm actually communicating with Xavier Ford. He said that he was guest 2188, but he registered and logged in with his Facebook.
Okay.
So good. See, it doesn't take that long to register, ladies and gentlemen. Now he has a cool name. See, don't you want a cool name?
he does have a cool name. Real quick, I don't know why I forgot to say this, but it's funny that you played the intro song at the beginning of the show, because this coming Monday, I'll be going to see Papa Roach live in a concert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Maybe I'll go up to them and ask them to play a fucking audio section for the show.
So you're gonna do what? Repeat that well enough so everyone can understand you.
What's that?
I think, can you repeat that again? What were you gonna do with Papa Roach?
Maybe I'll tell them to record a audio clip so we can play it on the show.
I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Maybe saying, "Hey, this is Papa Roach. Listen to the Sports Opinion Show." Yeah. How fucking awesome would that be?
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Maybe I'll try to get work my magic.
Yes, work your magic.
By the way, everybody on Facebook, in Facebook land, check out the new Sports Opinions group page on Facebook. All you got to do is search up the Sports Opinion Show, and we'll have a bunch of stuff being posted in there. You can talk about future topics. Ask Matt Alvarez a few questions, or myself a few questions on there. And, talk to us. Do you have a Twitter account for the show?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is that Twitter? The Sports Opinion Show?
No, just look for Matt Alvarez.
Oh,
you'll
Matt
find
Alvarez.
Me.
Go over there, tweet with Matt Alvarez. And, do you also have YouTube? No, we don't have YouTube.
Yes, I do, but I haven't been on there and done any videos in a while.
Okay.
But you can find me on YouTube, too, for past shows that we did, that I did.
Right. Yeah.
And I should drop my own bombshell on Eric, since Eric decided not to tell me any information before we went on the air.
Well, hey, you like to not answer your phone calls.
Hey, it's called I'm sleeping in the middle of the night. I don't really answer phone calls in the middle of the night. Unless I'm actually awake doing something.
I called you at 7 o'clock this morning. You're usually up.
That's on my work date. I don't work on weekends. Friday is considered a weekend, so that counts.
Sometimes you're up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Sometimes I'm up
what's your bombshell?
Let's
hear your bombshell.
Sometimes I'm up all night long. I don't really sleep that much. That's the truth. I'm not kidding about that.
Insomniac.
No, I don't. Why does everybody say that? Even my, you sound like my friend now. I don't have that.
Yes, you do. What's your bombshell, Matt? Let's go. Drum roll, please.
All right. Well, I'm still trying to figure out how to do it because I had someone else do it, a former co-host that I had to fire from the show years ago. But I need to get back. I need to get the Sports Opinion Show official's website back up and running.
Okay.
We will be doing that too. I'll be talking to Eric about that off the air.
Okay. We might be also.
I think you can do some stuff with the website, Eric. See, that's
okay.
Your job. There, I just gave Eric another job on the air, in front of
just
all
let me
of
know.
You.
And we might be going to back to another. We might be going to some. We might. Can't say that. Might be doing something a little different with the show.
Yeah.
Where's Couch Potato at?
What'd you say?
Where's Couch Potato at today?
I'm not sure. He might be busy, you know.
What's his name on Facebook? Are you friends with him on Facebook?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his daughters, both of his daughters, they are involved in soccer, so who knows, they could have a summer game day soccer.
Yeah, everybody will go over to the Sports Opinion Show Facebook page, and we'll do a live chat through there, too, during the shows as well. Yeah, there's 30 people, 30 new people.
30 new people?
We do have a live chat going on as we speak. So
that is awesome.
What's going on with everybody? I don't really... Anybody over here at the chat room?
Well, like I said, we have 3 people in the chat room. Maybe I guess 2191, Xavier Ford, DDP.
Okay, we have some people in there.
Yeah. So let's see. I don't know if anybody cares about it. I kind of did, and I kind of didn't. Of course, talking about this week's NBA draft that they did. And it hasn't been confirmed. But last week, it's official. It is official, but they're trying to set dates now. As I said last week on the show, college football has finally come to the realization that they need their own playoff system, much like the NFL and everybody else. And as Eric said last week, it's about damn time. But now they're trying to figure out when that would be. Would that be late October, early November, or somewhere in between? And how long would they do it? So they made it official, but they didn't really think about the next plan or phase of how they would do this. But I think they have time. Do you think they have time, Eric?
Hopefully.
Let's see. It's going to be July in 2 more days. And then September will be here before you know it. I think they have time to put a plan into place and get things rolling on how they're going to do it this year and how long the playoffs will go for, because, I mean, their big one, of course, is the Rose Bowl. Am I correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think they'll have time to, if they keep having meetings about it every day. Well, then again, I don't think an everyday meeting would, I think that would actually be boring, but, you know. Oh, well,
yeah.
Check this out, Eric.
What's up?
Just gotten word from the chat room that asked us, will we interview any other UWA elite superstars in the future, because Xavier Ford is a big fan of that promotion.
Yeah, we will be doing a bunch of interviews. Every week we will be doing an interview. Last week we had the short thing TJ Blade on, and 2 weeks before that we had Dave Swan on, and today we're interviewing the UWA champ. Next week, I got like 3 people I can do next week. I'm not sure. Stay tuned to the Facebook page, or you can add me on Facebook, Eric Williams, and keep you all updated and add you to the group. And so for Xavier Ford, all the information will be posted on the Sports Opinions Facebook page. Doing all that. Next week I think we're going to be doing Tommy Gunn's Cobra next week. I'm not sure though. Not sure who's going to be on. I know in 2 weeks we're going to be having on Eric Corvus, so that'll be something to stay tuned for. But every week UWA superstar will be appearing on the show.
Awesome. Well, there you go, Xavier Ford. There's your information that you requested, and we have the answer for it. I tell you.
Yeah, man, like the Crossroads debuts online tomorrow, UWAElite.com. Check it out. Tell them your friends over at the Sports Opinion Show sent you. And go over to their merchandise. They have a bunch of merchandise. Maybe, man, I'll send you a UWA Elite t-shirt.
Well, thank you. I'd appreciate that.
All right, wear that. And get on that movement. Maybe I can send one to Nick, too. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We will start doing contests as well, trivia and all types of shit. We'll be doing that in a couple weeks. Just want to get some stuff set up.
Yeah, yeah. A whole bunch of things here in the works at the Sports Opinion Show. I couldn't say the name of my own show. What the hell is wrong with me?
That's pretty funny. Anyway, I'm real excited to get this guy on. And then, you know what? Okay. And Sean Davis Ricknellis has just informed me he will be calling in 10 minutes. He'll be calling me, so I'll just put him through the call. So we'll have him on the air.
Yeah.
What else is going on in the chat room? Anything?
Well, Xavier Ford, he informed me that he didn't know about the superstar because this is the first time he's here on our show, but he heard about us on Sean McNeil's fan page.
Okay. That's pretty
cool. That's very awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah, I promoted that over there, so that was me. Add me on Facebook. And I'll send you more information. But we appreciate it, and you know.
And I'm very, very happy and ecstatic that my San Francisco Giants, last night, they did it. They did it. I was able to watch the game, and then right after that, I saw an hour and something else on the internet, and then I went to, and then after that I turned off the computer and went to TNA Wrestling, watched that. But my Giants are in first place.
Oh, fuck
first
you.
First place, baby.
Fuck you, stupid. Fucking stupid. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Eric, I thought you didn't really care for baseball. Now you want to jump on the bandwagon and cheer your baseball team on in your area?
No. My boy debuted for TNA last night. I'll fucking give big shout-outs to my boy Rashad Cameron getting the fucking victory last night. Fucking, yeah, baby. Philly, all day. That's my boy right there.
Dude, he was awesome. That was, wow.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe
my eyes. He works for CZW.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Do you know what name he is in CZW?
Yes, I do.
What's the name in CZW?
Well, because I have my... I have my wrestling news here. His name in CZW is Jez.
The Black G's. He's the Black G's.
Oh, G. That's how they pronounce it?
Yeah.
My bad.
Jez. That's pretty funny. Sorry. Cubix is also a guy who I've known for a long time. He works in Chikara as Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much that. Nick, yeah, I'm going to put Nick over big time right now. Yo, Nick be promoting Pete shows like crazy. Like, all types of shows, promoting people. Good shit, man. Everybody appreciates what you do for the show. Agree?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and Xavier just brought up something in the chat room. I didn't even realize it. Yeah, well, I didn't catch that. And so the funny thing about Rashad Cameron being on TNA, was that a little while ago? Yeah, that was him 2 weeks ago. He was just on SmackDown as one of the jobbers taking on Ryback.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I guess he didn't.
Yes, he is.
Well, nobody
that's
really
right. That's the funny thing, because honestly, I believe that TNA contacted him after seeing him on TNA, but that's just my opinion. I mean, on WWE, I mean.
Yeah, WWE, that's what it is.
I think once you get to WWE, it's like, that's pretty much, you know, your, you know, your calling card.
Well, it's your calling card when you get there, but then after you've been there for a while, they have all these new rules and expectations, and because they change the business so drastically, there's certain things you can't do anymore. And apparently, Vince McMahon has taken a whole new turn in his semi-twisted mind. I'll tell you guys about that right after the interview with the UWA Elite Champion that Eric will conduct. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know how well my boy, my good friend Jody Christopherson is going to end up sticking around.
Who's that?
Well, if you don't know Jody Christopherson, you better look him up, Eric.
Oh, boy. Hey, I'll be on the chat room in like 2 minutes. Give me 1 second. I'll be joining the chat room in 1 second.
All right, and it is now 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, which means it should be 4:30.
Yeah, we're waiting. We're just waiting on the guest to call in. He told us 10 minutes ago. He told us maybe 4:35 will probably be calling in. So.
Okay, so another 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. I'll be right back. Give me 1 second.
All right. Well, Eric, take a minute to get situated. I mean, this thing now with, as I said back in March, that Major League Baseball is thinking about banning and getting rid of the instant replay system. Well, they only did it because the NFL's idea. That was the NFL's idea rambunctiously to embark on their own journey. Like I said back in March, why in the blue hell does everybody want to get rid of the instant replay system? That's vital. You need that. I'm not sure if everybody can hear the singing in the background as well as I can, but
I hope not. I just moved.
Matt. Matt.
Yes, Eric.
We have our guest.
Yes, I believe we do.
Do you have the? Hey, do you want me to introduce? You ready to do this?
Me? Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, hold on. I'm talking to Matt. Hold on, Matt. I can still hear audio on my end.
Well, you didn't give me any audio, so.
Okay, all right. So at this time, we're going to do our UWA Elite segment for this week. We're going to be bringing on the show. He is the current UWA Elite Heavyweight Champion, Sean Damage McNellis. What's going on, Sean?
Not much, Eric. How you doing?
Doing great. Just figured I'd bring you on and, talk to you about UWA. And you made a whole lot of waves, good, you know, in a good way, with, you know, being the UWA champion. And there's a big show that will be premiering tomorrow night on UWAElite.com. That is Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's going to be, I cannot wait to see that. And, you know, I've been looking forward to seeing that for a little while now. So finally get the chance to check that out. And, should be good. Everybody should be watching it tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. I hope everybody out there who's listening will make sure and get over to UWAElite.com and check it out. It was definitely a great show.
Okay, so the first question I was asked everybody is, how did you get started in wrestling?
Well, for me, it started It actually started probably in around 1999, 2000 is when I really started getting into it. For a long time, I didn't really have cable, so I never really got to watch it. And when SmackDown came on, I just fell in love with it, and I searched it out, and I just searched out people who had information, and I tried to search out the right kind of people, you know, because you meet some of the wrong kind of people, but I just tried to search out the right kind of people, and essentially I just kept getting luckier and luckier and luckier, because I just kept being surrounded by the right type of people who could show me how to do things, and train me, and you know, and that's pretty much how it went. It started off small and just got bigger and bigger and bigger to the point to where I'm at now, where I'm wrestling in front of sold out crowds.
Right. Now, growing up, I was going to ask you to only pick one, but I mean, you being a fan for so long, who are some of your favorite wrestlers?
I see. This is where people get very confused by me. Some of my favorite wrestlers would be The Rock, William Regal, Goldust, and D'Lo Brown.
Okay, I have to ask, what's up with the Goldust?
Well, to be honest with you, I really dug the character, just the idea of, especially in the time that he played the character. You know, I mean, that's the mid-90s, and we're still having a hard time with flamboyant people today. And for him to play that character and play that role of Goldust and like, feed into it 110%, because if you remember, he was kind of a big deal back in the day, definitely a former Intercontinental
right.
champion. But I fell in love with he did things that nobody else was doing, you know what I'm saying? Not to say
right.
that it was cool or anything, but I really always dug him. And honestly, the real thing, though, is as a kid, I loved his theme music.
Wow, I remember going to a house show, this was like fucking, wow, like around 90 fucking, 8, 99, and seeing all the fucking gold things like the confetti, the gold confetti come
yeah,
down.
The glitter and stuff, oh yeah,
yeah.
man.
I thought that was just like a fucking Raw type deal, like on a television type deal. And then when I see that shit live, I'm like, holy shit, this is actually like happening. Like, wow, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I've always liked different type of characters. Like when everybody, you know, everybody likes Stone Cold, everybody likes The Undertaker, you know, everybody likes Goldberg or stuff like that. I always found I related more to the Intercontinental type of guys. I always kind of dug those guys, and that's just pretty much where I am. Other than that, I mean, I like other wrestlers too, but those four particularly are I like most wrestlers. I mean, anybody who goes out there and wrestles definitely gets my respect. It's not a easy thing, but those four guys in particular definitely were my influences as a child, especially The Rock. I mean, it's as a character, as the character that I play, I try to channel him in a way, not so much try to be like him, but try to do it as Shawn McNellis would do it.
Right. And we'll talk about that a little bit with the whole character and everything. I got to ask you, since Dave Swan came on for the first week of the segment, he kind of talked about the whole UWA at first type deal. How did you get involved in UWA?
A buddy of mine actually contacted Dave Swan and asked if him and a couple of others, actually King Tech, asked him and a couple of others if he could come and get like a tryout essentially and a workout. And he took me and a couple other guys who no longer exist today, and we went over there, and it was definitely different. It was definitely weird because we didn't know anybody when we went there, but we just didn't have a place to do it, you know? So
right.
we contacted Dave Swan, and Dave Swan was nice enough to give us a shot.
Right. And that was around the time, you know, doing that back in, 2002, 2003, 2004.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then according to Dave Swan, it just – everybody stopped. It just seemed like UWA folded and – there was no UWA for a good 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden everybody wanted to get that UWA band back together. What was your thoughts on, you know, being contacted about UWA coming back?
I was excuse me, I'm sorry. I was in right from the start. I mean, UWA always was a wonderful thing for me. I always thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the people I did it with. Everybody there, we grew into essentially a family over the 2 or so years, and we never lost contact. It wasn't like we, after 2005, everybody was just like, all right, forget it, goodbye, see you later, never to see you again. You know, I mean, like, I kept in touch with most of those guys, a lot of those guys. We saw each other often. Hell, there used to be a UWA Fantasy Football League when we didn't have anything going on, just so we could keep in contact with each other. And when I found out that we were coming back, I was elated. That's the only way I could describe it. I was just super excited and ready to go because I felt, I mean, I never, although UWA stopped, I personally never stopped. I mean, it was a lot fewer and far between, but I kept trying to wrestle and trying to get out there and get better. And by the time Swan and everybody worked it together to come back, I mean, I was more than thrilled.
Right. Now, your first show back, I got to ask you, because, you know, everybody deals with stress and different, you know, types of, you know, adversities differently. Was there butterflies going into that first show back?
Oh, absolutely. Setting the standard?
No. The first show, show coming back as UWA.
Oh, okay. Not like one of the first reunions. Not really. I mean, it's because it's UWA. I mean, it's something I've always, to me, it's just like hopping back on the bike again, you know? Like,
right.
You don't have to ride a bicycle for 20 years, but you can hop on a bike and know exactly how to do it.
Right.
And especially because it was UWA, because it's a bunch of guys who, you know, did this together for a long period of time, like, I wasn't really nervous. If anything, I was more or less just, I felt at peace. I felt at home. I felt happy, you know?
And that first, your first match back at that first show back was a Survivor Series style match with Shawn Matthews, St. Vengeance, Ryan Rage, and Joey Adams. Take on yourself, Big Dan, Kyle Wynette, and Cypress. Thoughts on that eight man tag? I remember watching that match and was, you know, obviously the first show.
Well, to be in the main event of the first show back was really something for me. Personally, I mean, it just felt really nice to be thought of in that sort of caliber, to be like, okay, if there's four UWA guys we want to be in the main event, who are they going to be? You know, Big Dan Wynette is an obvious, you know, Kyle Wynette is an obvious, you know, I'm not, Cypress is an obvious, you know, I wasn't really an obvious in that fit. And for me to get picked to be there was really an honor for me. And going into it, I was really excited to also see, you know, the new talent, to see these new guys I barely knew at the time and see what they were capable of. And all four of those guys we wrestled in that match, I mean, you've seen some of their stuff. You've seen what they can do. They're all great wrestlers in their own right. But also to have the ability to team up with the Wynettes and Cypress and to be a part of that, the UWA original group, as somebody who technically isn't a UWA original, really makes me feel honored.
Right. And, okay, so going off of that, there was something I talked about with Swan that I'll be mentioning it later. But the first thing is, one of the first big things we talked about with Swan was the whole Crossroads tournament, the whole – I love when people call my house phone. Anyway. Because it never fucking rings, but when I'm doing an interview, it does, yes. Though going into the Crossroads, you know, tournament being such a gigantic tournament, I mean, last year's tournament was one show. Every match was on one day. You wrestled three matches in what Swan said. It was hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrestled three matches in one day. Won all three of them. And winning the UWA championship, what's your memories of what the feeling was like of winning that first that UWA championship?
Vindication. That's the best word I could use to describe it. Would be I felt vindicated by it. I felt like all that, you know, all the work, all the trying to be, you know, just the right kind of guy, you know, trying to do everything right and trying to show people that, you know, if you do everything right, you know, or maybe not necessarily everything right, but in the wrestling industry and for UWA and for UWA Elite, you know, doing what's best for the company as a whole. And I feel like because I did that, I felt like all of that stuff really came into play for that one show. And I really, I mean, it was amazing. I can't describe it to you. I mean, I'm still at a loss of words for it. I never expected, you know, I mean, like you said, I wrestled three matches. I never expected to be able to, you know, win the UWA Elite Heavyweight title as well as win the Crossroads tournament. You know, I didn't, those were two things that in the original UWA, if you told me that I was going to do them, I'd have laughed at you because it was just, I wasn't in that zone yet. I didn't have that mentality yet. But all I could say is I felt vindicated and honored to represent the UWA Elite.
Now, once again, we have on the line with us the UWA champion, Sean Danage McNellis, UWAElite.com. After winning the UWA championship, you wrestled TJ Blade. I believe that was your first title defense. Talk a little bit about that match. That was a really good match.
Well, you know, TJ Blade is one hell of a wrestler, one hell of a competitor. He really busts his hump out there. I mean, with the exception of, you know, spraying himself with those disgusting smelling body sprays. I felt really good to be back in the ring, to be defending. I don't know if that match was for the title or not. I think that might have been a non-title match. I'm not too sure, though, but I think
whoever works on that website better look at the result page because I remember.
I think the way it went down is TJ sent some stuff to a friend of mine, Eddie Idle, and I believe I called him out and said, "Hey, you're coming. I wanna beat you up, guy." But you know, it was a great match. It gave me a lot of confidence going into the rest of the year. I felt like it was a good way to start, you know, my year off by getting a nice victory, one-on-one victory over a guy like TJ Blade who we've watched, you know, become a rising star in wrestling here in New Jersey. And I mean, to be able to have a match against him was great. Nothing beats being able to beat up a guy you don't overly like too much, but on a respect level, I think he really has something going for him right now. And if he could truly harness it and focus solely on the wrestling, I think the sky's the limit for that guy.
Right. And according to him, he's a winner. So,
we all know what he has to say.
You also wrestled, I believe the show after you wrestled TJ, you wrestled Chris Redfield, who's also a UWA original, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Actually, I remember going into that match, I was geared up for Brian Brass, and you know, Brian Brass, that's a big cat right there, you know. That's 6'3", 250 at least. Maybe I'm underlisting him. I don't even know. But I was geared up for him, and then I get, you know, none other than the California Crippler, Redfield, and he's a totally different type of style wrestler. He's probably my height. He probably weighs less than me. He'd probably use a lot more speed and quickness. So I had to kind of, on the fly, figure that out and – But once again, it was another amazing match. Chris Redfield is another one of our great wrestlers we have in the UWA Elite. I mean, the man works his ass off and is currently the, you know, UWA Elite I champion.
Right.
So, and once again, I mean, Dave Swan had no issue throwing a whole mess of competitors my way my first year as champion.
We'll talk about that in quite a little bit, because when he came on the program, I kind of pointed everything out, and he tried to avoid it, but we'll talk about that. And I only have like two more questions till we go to that, but hotter than hell, you had a good match with Dr. John Bowes. defending the title against Bose. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. John Bose is if there's a person I've wrestled the most in my career, I could tell you with God's honest truth, it's Dr. John Bose. I've been in the ring with him many times, and I've come out the victor sometimes, and he's come out the victor sometimes. But I mean, you're gearing up for the tallest man in the UWA elite. That guy's 6'6". You know, that dude's 260, 270 tops. He's coming at you full force. I know that the doctor is going to give me his all 100%. And in that match, I knew how badly he wanted it. He wanted it so badly that he was willing to side with, you know, Vincent Valentin. And we all know how Dr. John Bose really feels about him, but he wanted that belt so bad. So when I was gearing up for that match, the only thing I could think about was just trying to win. It wasn't so much about inflicting punishment into Dr. John Bose. It was just trying to win. And that's how I gear up for most of my matches, because there's a lot of guys out there who think of the things they want to do to a guy before a match, and there are other guys who just want to get in there and beat the crap out of you. The way I gear up for most of my matches is how can I beat him? How can I win the match? How can I get out of there with, you know, with my belt? And I know it's not necessarily a decent tactic, but, I mean, that's when push comes to shove, that's the name of the game. It doesn't matter how it looks. All that matters is that you win. And with Dr. John Bose, if you go back and watch that match, I'm pretty positive I spend about 7 or 8 minutes of that match on my back because the doctor's unleashing punishment on me. But long story short, you know, I pulled that one off, and when I hit that shot of Jack, I knew right then and there. I knew I was for real because I had just beaten – I mean, the doc was on a tear at that point in time. He was just beating people left and right and just taking names. And when I beat him, I felt like I solidified myself as the UWA elite champion. It wasn't just you couldn't call me a fluke no more, even though I never kind of thought I was a fluke to begin with. But anybody who did, you know, once I beat him, you can't really call me a fluke no more.
Right.
And that's how I felt at that time.
All right, now it's time to go into what I was talking about earlier with Swan and kind of called him out on some stuff. Got little heated over this, but going into iWrestle, you had the whole, you know, we talked about this with Swan, the whole iWrestle concept. It's totally interactive. The fans get to choose everything about it. This whole show was done by the fans, for the fans. They had three choices of opponents for you. That would be Michael Massacre, Arkham, and Dr. John Bose. The fans chose Michael Massacre. You defeated Michael Massacre, but then a certain situation happened where Dave Swan came out and put you in another match with Vin Grayson, causing a whole bunch of controversy. Talk a little bit about that whole situation with the match with Massacre first, and then go into the.
Well, once again, you're talking about another situation where, you know, Dave Swan decides he wants to take some liberties with me and make it so that I can't necessarily prepare for one particular person for my match. You know, I mean, you're talking about Arkham, Dr. John Bose, and Michael Massacre. Those are three guys with three very different skill sets, three very different wrestling styles. So when I got Michael Massacre, there was a part of me that felt relieved. And that's not a knock on Michael Massacre. It has more to do with the fact that Arkham and Dr. John Bose kind of have been there before. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They've been in that light. They've been up for championships before. Arkham's a former champion. Dr. John Bose is a former champion. Not heavyweight, but whereas Michael Massacre, I that could very well have been his first main event. So although it was tough for me because I didn't know who I was facing, I mean, I know I don't care how tough of a guy you are, and Michael Massacre looks like one of them tough guys, you got to be a little nervous and you got to be a little worked up. And I feel like I took advantage of that in that match. I kind of You see, my style is kind of like Muhammad Ali. I let you beat me up for a while, and then I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm not that hurt, you know? That's pretty much how I did it to him, and I kind of rope-a-doped him a little bit, and when the match was over, I kind of knew what was going to happen to me. I kind of figured, okay, here comes his cronies to beat the holy hell out of me, because if you go back and look at the action zones that the weeks prior, pretty much at the end of them, you know, they came out and beat the crap out of me. So that happened again, and I figured, you know, they'd beat me up for a while, and then I'd, you know, lie in the ring, and then I'd leave, and then before I know it, when I come to, I hear Swan saying, I have another match. And then when I hear that it's Vin Grayson, I'm like, do you really want to know what I thought immediately when I heard it was Vin Grayson, Eric?
Yeah.
I said, who in the world is Vin Grayson? But it turns out little punk comes in the ring, hits me with that finisher of his, and I'm no longer the champion. It really made me mad. I gotta say, it really angered me because, I mean, whether Dave Swan liked me or didn't like me, I felt like I was representing his company in a way that somebody in charge would want it to be, you know. Whereas Vin Grayson is a newcomer who people barely even know, who's about 5 foot nothing. But, I mean, you know, that kid took advantage. I mean, looking back in my past and in what I used to do as a wrestler, I would have done the same exact thing that kid did. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to – Dave Swan gave him an opportunity. And if you're not in this business, if you don't take opportunities, you need to get out of this business. And Vin Grayson took his opportunity and picked my bones and defeated me for the heavyweight title. And, you know, I got to say, you know, I mean, I'm sure your next question probably has to do with me wrestling him again.
Well, we'll go into that in about two questions. But first things first, you know, the whole Vin Grayson winning the title, I mean, it's on footage, and I've seen it, you know, personally. But after Vin Grayson won the title, everybody just stood up and just looked the other way. It was not... nobody was happy at all, and you know, people were happy with you as champion. But what did you feel, you know, hearing that people weren't even caring about? Like, was it kind of like I can win this belt back from him, and I'm going to win this belt back? Was it that kind of feeling that you got?
I mean, I'll admit, anybody who is opposite of me in the squared circle, I will always take seriously. You know what I'm saying? Anybody
right.
who's standing at that opposite corner, I have to take them seriously because they're standing in that opposite corner. However, I was not going to go into that match and underestimate anything about Vin Grayson, because if there's one thing I can tell you about Vin Grayson, he might be small, he might be short, but he's a pit bull. He as soon as he sees an opening, he takes it and exploits it and destroys it. And for what it's worth, I mean, people started to take notice. Yeah, they turned their backs on him, but people started to take notice with that kid when he started, you know, when he showed, hey, you know, just because I'm small, just because I'm young, doesn't mean I can't be a champion, because, you know, he could have lost that belt numerous times before even getting to me, although I'm not sure if he ever even defended it other than to me.
Yeah,
but
I don't think he did.
He went, I also know that I was his only defeat that year. And, I mean, the kid had a great run, but at the same token, you know, I knew I was going to get my title back. I knew it was only a matter of time. And, I mean, I just didn't want to, because, you know, you like I said before, I didn't even know who Vin Grayson was when he pinned me and won my belt. But at the same token, I'm not going to underestimate him now, because that's the first step towards losing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, he took advantage of an opportunity, and you can fault him for that. You don't have to like him for that, but that's what he did.
Right.
Period, end of discussion. I mean.
And then you also had another match with him at the next show, Mischief Nightmare, and you got screwed again out of the title.
Well, that match, I'm pretty, I think as I remember it correctly, I think I felt like I had that match won. And then I think I got chokeslammed.
Right, by Dave Swan.
Well, actually, no. Now that I'm thinking, I remember I was taking care of him. Like, I was doing everything I thought. I was really on a roll to open up that match, and then I went for the 6-3-9-3-6 moonsault, and at the last second I saw that he kind of scampered away, and I landed on my feet, and my knee kind of hyperextended. I don't really know, but it jerked out on me, and I was having a real hard time putting any weight on it for the rest of the match. And like I said before, Vin Grayson saw that and took advantage of it and started going after my leg pretty badly. And I remember I started to get some momentum going back, and right when I was about to put it to an end, I believe Dave Swan, with a referee out shirt on, grabbed me by the neck and chokeslammed me. And Vin Grayson put me in a submission that almost tore all the ligaments in my knee. So I had to tap out. I had to give that one up. But I felt really, really angry after that one. I mean, come on, you know. It's one thing to send the kid out there and have him pin me after the Brotherhood have destroyed me. It's a totally different thing to completely involve yourself in the match and change the course of UWA Elite as you see fit. It's basically saying to everybody, hey, go to hell, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt really angry after that match, and I was determined to get back my title no matter what, and I knew that was my rematch, and I had to figure out a way to get a new rematch. So I was just geared up and ready to go, and just I never felt more possessed by wanting to win the UWA Elite Heavyweight title back.
Right. And you did end up getting another match because you won about a 30-man over-the-top battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. What show was that? I'm trying to think. Wrote it down.
It was a random. It was a Action Zone.
No, that was the only match. It was
the Brawl for It All.
The Brawl for It All. That's what they called it. Okay.
Yeah,
you won the Brawl for It All, right, to get your match with Vin Grayson at Last Breath. And, you know, that match was a cage match. Going into that match, knowing it's a cage match, knowing no outside interference from dumbass owner Dave Swan, what was your feelings going into that match?
Once again, back to, you know, excitement. I was just excited to get in there and be locked in a cage with little old one-man boy band and get my chance to really, you know, tear him a new one. And I certainly did, and he certainly did it to me. I got to admit, I think I might have underestimated him a little bit in that one because he didn't have his cronies around and he didn't have his posse around. And he came back after me and gave me all he had. But in the end of it, you know, I mean, I'm a firm believer in karma. You know, and he got what was coming to him, and I got what was coming to me. And the way he won the belt under false pretenses, and he won it in a underhanded, dirty sort of way, and he got his, essentially. The karma came back to him, and I pinned him 1-2-3, and I regained my heavyweight championship, and I've held it ever since.
Now, that was for season one. That was all the stuff from season one that was. But then
right.
There was this season, which started off with a monumental announcement of a huge show, which was labeled Setting the Standard, a huge show.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the main event. No, it wasn't the main event, was it?
No, we were not the main event.
How do you feel about that? I got to ask you that. Being the UWA champion, and I know Arcadia versus TJ Blade was the main event of that show.
Oh.
How does it feel with being a champion and not being the main event?
I mean, a bunch of people asked me about that, and I'll be honest with you, I could really care less.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm in the main event or not. What matters to me is that I get a chance to wrestle and compete. It's never about the number one spot. And if you look at it from a business aspect, which I always like to do, It makes more sense to have an Arcadia in your main event because people know him. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Whereas me, at the time, I'm a relative unknown, so why would I be main eventing our show if we're trying to sell a bunch of tickets to a bunch of wrestling fans? But that stuff's all old hat to me, bro. I mean, people make a big deal out of it. It's not that big of a deal. If you're on the show, you're on the show.
Right, right. But talk about the match with Hedges in general.
All right, can you hang on 1 second? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because he's calling me out for doing
the
thing. I
apologize. There's like a lot of acting going on over there.
Talk a little bit about your match with Hedges.
Well, once again, that's another situation where Dave Swan wants to, you know, try to make me have to guess who my opponent's going to be. But Hedges is no slouch. He's a big host. And he is absolutely a big hoss, and he came right after me, and he gave me a good work. But, I mean, that was by far and away one of the most exciting matches of my career. If you look back on that match, you know, Hedges is pretty much handling me. And I am the only thing that's my saving grace is, I guess, hitting that old shot of Jack on him at the buzzer there. I got the old 1-2-3, and I mean, it was truly a great feeling to be able to do that, not only, you know, as my first, you know, match in front of a live crowd, but to be able to defend my title as my first match in front of a live crowd was truly, truly amazing.
All right, and we have a couple, you know, few more questions before we let you go, but, Ultimate Turmoil, You went through the odds, and you defeated 7 other people.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I defeated 2 other people, but
right, right. But you know,
7 other people in the match.
Right, right. But you know, you know.
Look at me. I'm not even giving myself enough credit. I should just keep my mouth shut, huh? But carry
yeah.
on. I'm sorry.
Sorry. You went through that ultimate turmoil. My eyes look at me for right. the fucking. Talk about that whole that match.
Well, that match was. The match was a difficult one to prepare for. There have been many other Ultimate Turmoils in the UWA Elite history. However, that was the first one that ever was for a heavyweight title or any title for that matter. And once again, you know, I just felt like I had to, you know, pull out all the stops and do whatever it took, because I didn't know what number. I really assumed, with the way Dave Swan had kind of played my cards over the last couple of months, I would assume that he would have made me come out first. But I was lucky enough to get the draw of 6. I was unlucky enough to have to deal with 2 members of the Paramount, which is never fun, especially when they like to cheat. But It was a hard fought battle, and you know, I feel like, once again, going back to the Redfield thing, I got kind of lucky against Redfield there. You know, I rolled him up because he was in the zone. He had just come off of the big pin off Joey Chaos, and he was ready for me. I could tell when I got in there. But you know, I rolled him up, and I got the 3, and before I know it, I realized at that point that the last person is Brian Brass, and before I can even prepare for him, I'm already getting my leg kicked out, and Redfield locks in the old submission on me, and before Brass gets into the ring, I can hardly walk. But once again, I mean, you know, Brass is another one of our big hosses. You know, he brought everything he could. He gave me his all, and I once again, I mean, that shot of Jack comes out of nowhere. You know, I don't want to take anything away from these guys. These guys are all great competitors in the UWA Elite. And, I mean, I have the advantage of having a finisher that I can truly hit out of nowhere at any time. So I got that going for me.
Right. Okay, basically, we got a couple, you know, now it is time to promote some stuff. And
yeah.
We got
well,
Crossroads.
Well, Crossroads is coming out this Saturday. I think your guy's trying to talk to you, bud.
Matt, you all right?
Yeah. Real quickly, Sean, Matt Alvarez here, a fan in the chat room, asked me one more quick question before we get into the promotional stuff.
Okay.
He wanted to know, who is your favorite new guy that has joined the UWA family?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. That is a tough question to answer because, to be honest with you, I've fallen in love with an awful lot of them, pretty much all of them. But, man, okay, I guess I'll single a couple of them out. I love TKO. I mean, if you don't love TKO, then you can just get the hell out of here because TKO is one of the most exciting wrestlers we have at the UWA Elite. Another guy that instantly comes to mind is Mike Davis as well, because Mike Davis is totally just kind of bought in hook, line, and sinker and was with the UWA family idea, and he's universal as a character. There isn't anything Mike Davis can't do. You see, this is the thing. I could go on. I could spend 45 minutes talking about every single one of them and what I like about every single one of them. Hell, we just got this new guy, Chris Arraeus, and before I know it, I get to talking to him, and it turns out he's a baseball player and a catcher, and I used to be a baseball player and a catcher, so I instantly love him. You know what I'm saying? Like, every new guy, all of you guys, if you're listening, if you're not listening, I don't care. I love all of you, okay? I love all of you, except for TJ Blade.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I love him, too. But
you love to beat him. That's what you like to.
Yeah, I guess I do. I love to beat him. But they're all great, wonderful wrestlers, and they put in the time and effort, and I can see the dedication in all of them, and it makes me truly happy. Oh, Strife. Strife's awesome, too. If you don't love Strife, you can just get out. And, oh, man, you see, I can go Chambers. Chambers, have you seen this Chambers guy?
Turn it up.
Don't even get me started on the youth of the UWA Elite. I mean, it's ridiculous. Look at Vin Grayson. Vin Grayson's the UWA heavyweight champion and a tag team champion. I mean, look at these guys. They're all doing great things and making great names for themselves, and as a friend of theirs, as well as somebody they may look to as a mentor, I'm proud of every single one of them when they get in the ring. And that is all I have to say about that.
All right, now
Eric, you may continue with what you were going to do now, Eric.
Okay. I believe that somebody, I believe that person who asked the question actually...
Probably in the UWA.
No, I think they listened. I'm pretty sure it's Xavier Woods who actually found out about the show today because of your fan page.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Awesome. I love my fans, and as a matter of fact, I think I know who this young man is. He was one of the first fans I got who wasn't a friend of mine, and I truly appreciated that, and that meant an awful lot to me. So, hey, thanks for the question, bud. But to promote a couple of things, we got a whole bunch of things coming up here, bud. I mean, we got the debut of Crossroads on the interwebs on the UWAElite.com. This Saturday, as well as, you know, we want you all to go to Facebook to go to like UWA Elite. And while you're at it, like Sean Damage McNellis. We would also like you to check us out July 20th at Funtime America in Cliffwood Park, New Jersey. We're gonna be having our 300th live show, and bring the kids because any kids who buy tickets get to ride rides for free. So we're really looking forward to that one. And we got another one coming up in August. That's going to be hotter than hell. I want to say it's the 18th, and that's going to be at the historical Darris Theater in Booton, New Jersey. And
what's going on with this? There's a fan appreciation type deal. Is that a show or what is that?
Honestly, this is I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's on the website. It's on the website. It says August 11th. It's a UWA fan appreciation.
Oh, that's right. Yes, very good. August 11th, we're going to be doing a fan appreciation night, a live show, a free admission. I think it's in Somerville. I'm not too sure of the details.
Yeah.
We just kind of figured this one out. But that is something that's definitely happened. It's free admission. You just get to check us out. It would be really awesome to see, you know, my fans as well as just any fans of the UWA Elite at any of our shows. And all of this stuff, you can find all the information for this stuff at UWAElite.com Or you could like us on Facebook at UWA Elite, and all that information is there too. And don't forget to go to our website. We also have merchandise available. We have wrists. We have the bracelets. We have 8x10s. We have T-shirts. We have a whole bunch of stuff there for anybody who wants it.
I just picked up one of my T-shirts. So
yeah, there you go. Don't get your T-shirts. They're flying out.
They're flying out. All right, Sean, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And any last words?
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to be able to talk to my fans and friends. And I hope all you guys get out there and check us out at UWAElite.com, as well as like us on Facebook at UWA Elite. And don't forget to get out there and like me on Facebook. Sean Damage McNeil is your boy. It's Green and Black Attack. Get there. Get at me. But thank you once again. Thank you so much for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks. Take care.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Wow.
That was Sean Damage McNellis from UWA Elite, the UWA Elite heavyweight champion. We'll see if he keeps the belt tomorrow. So everybody check it out, UWA Elite.
Now,
on the
I mean, nobody in the chat room asked this question. It's my own personal question, but it applies to everyone listening live, everyone joining us live, also in the chat room. What time would that be for people like me and people that live?
Oh, you can probably check it out, like probably at 7 o'clock your time.
Probably, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, had some great interaction.
What'd you think? Good.
Wow, this has been exciting these last few weeks. Thank you, Dave Swan, and everyone from UWA Elite. Thank you, Sean, for being with us again. These are awesome interviews. Oh, man, I'm just tired from all of it. That was exciting, and I'm not even the one doing the interview. That's you. I tell you, man. So what do you think is going to happen tomorrow night when they do this very first live show, right? Eric? Well, we'll let Eric think about that.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our two-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Vic 37. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I found out Eric actually had to leave, so yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Eric had... Thank you, Eric, for that awesome interview conduction. Be sure, ladies and gentlemen, you heard 3 weeks ago, we had the president and the owner of UWA Elite, Dave Swan, on, promoting the hell out of this shit. If they're promoting it the way they're promoting it, this should be awesome. And you heard Sean say this will be free. It will be free on the internet to watch it on their website for free. Be sure to check out UWAElite.com. Their first ever live interaction thing to watch it on the internet, to watch the whole show on UWAElite.com, Crossroads. It should be an awesome, awesome show. I'm going to be sure to check it out. Wow. Well, you know, Xavier, it sounded like that's what they were doing. You heard Sean also mention with Eric that they did a show somewhere else last month that they've never been before. Could they be, I don't want to say they're the next version of what Extreme Championship Wrestling was back in the day, but hell, that's how they got their name out there. By traveling, going to different places. If Dave Swan, the promoter, got the money for that, hey, maybe one of these days, maybe I'll get a chance to meet all of them if they come to California. Or wherever Xavier's from. He told me where he's from in the chat room during the interview, and I forgot. I'm just so excited. But ladies and gentlemen, as you heard in the pre-call for the commercial, yes, if you want to catch up on other sports and other types of different randomness, much, much more different than just me, be sure to be back here tomorrow morning, early in the morning, with Sports Talk with the Guys. They are the guys that actually own this channel. They own a whole bunch of channels, and I just happen to have one. But they'll be conducting their own show here tomorrow morning. Be sure to be back here if you want to check that out. And now let's get into some crazy, crazy wrestling news topics. Ah, that's right. Xavier's from Virginia. I'm serious. I've never been outside of California. I need to start, you know, traveling too. I just have to have money. Everything, as we all know, costs money. Isn't that right, DDP? DDP has been traveling since, like, March, right? Wow, I'm sure he's having the time of his life. He had an awesome birthday that he told me about. Anyways, as you heard me and Eric, you know, Eric tried to question me and thought I didn't know my backstage wrestling topic, but I know what's going on. As you heard us mention at the top of the show about who these new guys were on TNA last night. TNA has three new X-Division wrestlers that debuted on Impact last night. The first was Rubik. Actually, he goes by Ed McNuckin, who wrestled as Gigolo in Shakira and other indie promotions. The second was Rashad Cameron, known as G from Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW, and the Urban Wrestling Federation. The third was Mason Andrews. That's the name that TNA gave him. But he plays Scorpio Sky. I know about him because he's right here in California. And check this out. Bill Goldberg, who last competed for WWE in 2004, reportedly contacted Brock Lesnar about returning to the Sports Entertainment Organization to work an angle with him. Bill Goldberg said, "This has never been done before, Brock." Is Bill Goldberg on drugs? With all due respect, of course, to him and to Brock Lesnar, if I say anything else about Brock Lesnar. Like I said, with all due respect to both of you, but what do you mean this is the first time ever? Didn't they wrestle each other at WrestleMania 20? Austin was a special guest referee. Lesnar, however, told Bill Goldberg this might not actually work because he only has two major dates left on his current contract. Triple H at SummerSlam and whoever his WrestleMania opponent will be. Well, there you go. You don't even know who your WrestleMania opponent is going to be. WWE, here's your chance. Bring Bill Goldberg back. This time, you better just let them do what they're going to do. Don't give them no script or nothing. Let them go out there and do it, because WrestleMania 20, the match that they had, was terrible. I expected them to lock horns, but they walked around, they danced around the ring for 30 damn minutes, literally. Watch that match again if you think I'm playing. It was just about 25, 30 minutes. That's all they did, was walk around the ring with each other, and Austin's like, well, shit, wrestle before I beat both your asses. And after WWE's recent announcement of a new weekly television show on the ION Network in October, which is the WWE main event, they're concerned that the product will be, they're afraid of overexposing themselves, especially since Raw will be going 3 hours on a permanent basis in July. However, WWE is set to make millions of dollars per year from TV rights fees for the new shows. Now, you're probably wondering, how did they get the ION Network to agree to do shows for them? Well, let's just say Vince McMahon fouled up again. He tried to enter into a new legitimacy deal like he did with the XFL, and that fell through. This whole WWE Network thing, that's why you haven't seen the commercials for it. The WWE Network itself might actually fall all the way to the floor and crash and die. It's something that they never even got to take off. So this might not happen. The extra hour of Raw on the new main event show will be filmed during nights anyways, when WWE is already running television tapings. So the cost to produce both shows is very low. While ION is the most popular broadcast network in the United States, millions of fans who do not have cable will now have access to the new show. Between that and the TV rights fee, WWE thinks the new show will be successful. So you're probably saying, well, Matt, I'm confused. Are they afraid of overexposing themselves to the ION Network? Or are they happy that they will be successful anyways? Well, this is, to clear this up, That way you guys won't get confused, because I know WWE confuses people. Basically, they're happy, but at the same time, they're sad. It's their pick. And as I said before before we brought Sean on for the interview, Vince McMahon is now headed in a new directional directive issuing. It's his new mentality, something he calls his greatest mind to date. Greatest mind to date. I don't think so, but check this out. Because he gave a directive on Monday night to Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler and to the Spanish commentators. Yeah, you're probably like, Spanish commentators? I don't think they're on Raw anymore. They're still around. Trust me. Spanish commentators are still there. They need them. But he told them, the four of them, not to mention Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm sure my friends in Indiana are very upset about their state not being popular. But that's because during the Raw television show telecast, the chairman, and he's also the CEO, now feels that if a show's host city does not sound big league enough, you have to be the league. You have to be the big league city in order to be mentioned on television now. It will not be mentioned on television. And you weren't even aware of this, but he made the same call for the June 5th SmackDown in Columbia, South Carolina. When Michael Cole started to say that we're going to head to East Lauderdale, Florida. He said East Lauderdale and Vince McMahon right there on the June 5th SmackDown. All of a sudden you realize that Michael Cole stopped mentioned where the show was going to be. That's because Vince McMahon told him in his headset, no, stop whatever the hell you're doing. Don't say that city. They're not a big name city. They're not New York City. It's not L.A. See what I'm saying? It's not San Francisco. All the cities, the big name cities that the entire world knows about from different states, that's the only way your state will be broadcast on Vince McMahon's television show. He calls it his new mantra. Right. WWE sources report that the diva, who was mostly on NXT with a few appearances on Raw, was frustrated with several different things, including not being given a guaranteed deal and not being able to prove herself on TV outside of NXT. She was last seen in the Diva Battle Royal on Raw this week. This, of course, that I just read about, this diva, this is, of course, just coming in, just breaking news. I just now found it on a wrestling website. You're probably wondering that, you know, how that happened. You're probably saying, well, she was in a Diva Battle Royal on Raw this week. Who was that? Well, this is breaking news. Maxine, who first joined WWE in 2009 as the developmental talent and was in FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling, until NXT's third season. She returned during season 5 as part of a triangle with Derek Bateman and Johnny Curtis. Yeah. She has quit WWE. Interesting, right? Yes, Xavier, that is very messed up of Vince McMahon to have this new kind of thinking. What would possess that, you ask? Well, we all know that. See, you heard 3 weeks ago when UWA president Dave Swan was on. You're just a few minutes ago with Sean being on, they both said the same thing. that their promotion is different. And it's different because, well, Dave Swan said 3 weeks ago when we interviewed him that they're different because they don't jump in the ring and grab a microphone and start talking trash to the other guy. They let the wrestling do the talking. That's fine, but you got to live a little, and that's been everybody's problem with WWE. Sure, you can get in the ring and do a promo, but you have to act better. That is our subject line for today. Better acting, please. And what that means is you get in there, you cut a promo, but I don't appreciate the writers giving themselves ideal prospectation. I mean, 2 weeks ago when they did the 3-hour Raw, they did a pretty good job that night versus all the other multiple 3-hour shows that they've done in the past where I've gotten pissed off at them about this because Vince McMahon hates me and I hate him much to a degree because they don't even know what to do with 3 hours. But like I said, 2 weeks ago, they did pretty good with that 3-hour show. But just because you have 3 hours and not two doesn't grant you the opportunity to write out a storyline if you're a TV writer for the WWE and you go, mention all of this, it'll take about 20 minutes. Well, basically 20 minutes to me is like saying, like my boss this week. You know, we got some furniture in, and I go, how much for this dresser? It's a little banged up. He says, based on the scratches and everything, I'm like, $20. He goes, yeah, you're right. Just whatever. Just $20. That's all we're going to charge for it. It's a piece of crap, but if they want to fix it, I go, yeah, they can fix it themselves. So your 20-minute promos are basically like $20. Who is going to stand there or sit there, actually, in an audience full of thousands of fans to listen to everything get run down on a one-night basis? You can't do that. They can't even do it right straight with a 2-hour show, much less 3 hours. But as you heard me mention, starting in July, July 19th or 20th, they keep running different commercials and they're messing up their own promos. Like, oh, we're going to have Raw on this night. No, we can't have Raw on this night. And then they caught themselves because of what I said last week. That their commercial was actually to have Raw next weekend. But next weekend, see, they fucked up their own commercial this month. They did the same thing. They promoted July 7th as the biggest telecast for a 3-hour Raw. But then they said, that's not even when we're doing 3 hours. They caught on to what I said last week. Whoops! July 7th is actually a Saturday, not a Monday. Well, who the fuck is doing the commercials for you, Vince? Good grief. You know what? We're going to get Xavier and DDP. They'll be your new television commercial guys to get the commercial. We've got Andrew Mack in the chat room. How you doing, Andrew? Andrew sounds like a smart guy. Vince, why don't you hire everybody in the chat room? They can be your new television production staff. Because the staff that he currently has is actually piss poor in promoting their own upcoming Raw shows. Like, I know DDP was laughing so much last week, right? My good friend Matt Broderick was in the chat room last week, too. He said, hey, they should do that. Kind of like WCW Saturday Night. Well, WWE had Saturday Night's main event, but I don't think they're trying to do all that. But anyways, they did pretty good with this week's Raw. You know, you had Daniel Bryan versus Kane versus CM Punk, and you knew, obviously, that AJ was going to play a role in this, and I Daniel Bryan, he won because AJ came out there and she instituted herself with just staring at all three of them. This storyline has so many perks and so many angles that need to be added to it. They haven't done the one I told them to do. And then we had Brodus Clay versus The Big Show. And, well, you knew the writers were going to allow Big Show to knock out Brodus Clay. And, yeah, someone did indeed need to call Brodus and Clay Mama right away because he got knocked out by The Big Show. United States title match was on the line, Jack Swagger versus Santino Marella. Santino won with, of course, the Cobra, which didn't surprise anybody. The only segment that got the highest rated movement was Psycho Sid returning in his near 15-year hiatus from WWE, and he took on the one-man rock band Heath Slater. Now, this is the one thing that really had me going because I was laughing the whole time this match was going on. Heath Slater's over there trying to sing to Psycho Sid without the microphone in his hand, which is very talented. Just what happens. You make somebody a heel. Like, if I found out that somebody couldn't sing for shit, I'd be like, you're going to be a bad guy right away. If I was the promoter, and that's smart that they have Heath Slater playing this heel role because he can't sing for shit. But he can get away with it. That's better acting. But Psycho Sid, it was awesome to see him win. Number one contenders match, Alberto Del Rio took on Dolph Ziggler. You know, and things happened, and you know, it was a contract on a pole match, and well, no one could really get it out, and they kept kicking the contract away from each other, and it just looked silly and retarded. Then they announced that the time had run out, or something like that. I tell you, we're going to see who this is.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Eric, welcome back.
Oh, boy. I'm back. And better than ever. Can I say something right now, though? Psycho Sid, come on, man. Retire from the business. Just quit. Quit now. Quit. Just, he's horrible. His fucking leg drop looks shitty. Power bomb, whatever. Yo, what did everybody think about that UWA interview earlier with Sean Danvers with Melis? I thought it was probably one of the best interviews we did so far. UWAElite.com. Sorry. I told somebody from UWA to check out the show. I don't know if they're even in the chat room.
Would that be Andrew Mack?
Oh boy, he's in the fucking chat room. Oh boy, what's going on, Andrew? Going on, buddy? Raw was good for the most part. I mean, Jericho looks like John Bon Jovi now. Jericho looks horrible. Cena's just there, like always. Getting back to this Heath Slater thing. I think for the 1,000th episode, he's probably going to end up getting a stunner from Stone Cold.
Probably. Yeah, I hope to see that.
That's probably what they're building up to.
But a lot of people were expecting Jericho to be a face when he came back.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No, after you go in there and you start shooting on other people's countries, I mean, come on, he's a heel.
Yeah, well, he also had a 30-day suspension.
I don't care if you had 30-day suspension or 60-day. I'm surprised you didn't get fired for that.
Well, you know, Vince does have He claims that his policies are in place, but yet he keeps giving guys chances. All right.
Let me ask Andrew Mack a question. Hey, what's your thoughts on Jerry Lawler's commentating? Anyway, yeah.
Well, that would be like.
He loves Michael Cole.
That would be like Vince coming to you and going, Eric, I know you were suspended for all this time, and I know after 3 strikes, you're supposed to be suspended, but you get another chance.
Orton, man, talk about 3 strikes. Orton's like getting ready to be on 3rd strike. He's already got 2 against him. From Pot, right? Mysterio has like 2 strikes. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with this.
Andrew said it's me.
I'm gonna shut the hell up. I'm gonna shut the hell up. I love you, Andrew. It's cool. It's all good. Just busting your chops. Yes, I am drinking right now. It's fine.
He said it's cool because it evolved like a wrestling character that's been on TV forever. It has to evolve.
Who said that?
And Andrew's saying all this. He said, and Lawler does. He said, I mean, on commentary, that is.
Technically speaking, Andrew Mack is a big Michael Cole fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Andrew Mack is a Michael Cole fan.
He wants to be just like Michael Cole, wear the outfits that Michael Cole has. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. I'm trying to get the old man.
He said, hell no. Those are lies. Lies.
No, they're not lies. They're not lies. Pay me and I'll shut up.
I don't think Andrew wants to spend his hard-earned money on paying you.
Oh, well, hey, I'm good for something. But
no,
Andrew's good stuff, man. Andrew's a good friend of mine, you know. Good friend of mine. Kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, but that's beside the point. But he's cool. He's cool people. He's cool people.
He said, no, I'm indifferent towards Michael Cole.
He loves Michael Cole. That's him fucking doing, yeah. Oh, well. You never know what you're going to get here on the Sports Opinion Show. Every Friday night. Every Friday. From 1 Pacific, 3 Pacific. What is he saying now? Probably shooting his gums off.
He said, I don't watch Raw as long as it's brought to us by Disney.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is he talking? All right. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, speaking of Michael Cole, it seemed that on Raw this week, he went back to babyface Michael Cole.
Absolutely stupid. Sorry.
Well, you know, I was getting tired of the whole, and
now,
I quote, heel.
Can they fire him? I want to hear this thing. And I quote, I suck. I want to hear him say that.
No, I don't think Andrew will say all that.
Wait, Andrew, what happened?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Andrew.
No, I was talking about Michael Cole.
Oh, Michael Cole.
I wish
he
could just
say
that.
He should quote that about himself.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
What else is up? Anything else is up?
No, just, you know, people are having fun enjoying it in the chat room.
You got to come down for UWA. You got to come down from California. Come down to a UWA Elite show with me. One day.
Dude, right after we lost connection with you, I was telling everybody in the chat room, if Dave Juan could kind of be the alternative to how ECW got their name out there by traveling, if they travel here to California, I'll be sure to check them out.
They ain't fucking, yeah, nobody's fucking traveling to California just because you live there. Nobody wants to see your face. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, honestly, I think it'd be great if you came down to PA, we'll drive down there and down to Jersey and we'll cause a bunch of ruckus and just cause havoc and get thrown out. No, we won't get thrown out. Just kidding.
Yeah, you want a UWA security escorting you out the door, you go right ahead. I'll be like, I don't know this guy.
I'll put my UWA Elite T-shirt on and they ain't saying shit to me, okay?
You think Dave? I'd like to know what Dave Flom would think about that. You throwing the
I'll
shirt?
I'll call Davey Boy right now, and I'll take care of it. He's Davey Boy Swan to me, but it's fine. Instead of Davey Boy Smith, it's Davey Boy Swan. He's an old pal.
If you say so.
You know what I'm gonna say right now? One of my favorite wrestlers to watch on UWA, a King Tech character. He's quite a character. Not gonna lie. Okay. Yeah. What else we got? Anything?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said.
TNA
was good last night,
too.
I'll
be right back. I got to make a phone call real quick, and hopefully it'll lead to something good. Give me 1 second.
You got to make a phone call?
Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, well, we might be off the air by then. It's always something with Eric Williams, ladies and gentlemen. $10 says he's calling you, Andrew. Well, Andrew, I don't know. He might call you. He might call Dave. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, that. You know the one thing that I feel has ruined wrestling? The match that Samoa Joe had with Kurt Angle last night on Impact.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, I got a surprise for you. Let's welcome back to the show your old co-host, AJ.
What's up, bitch?
What?
Yeah, you never know when the fuck I'm up here, dumb fuck.
AJ, what's up with you? How was your birthday last week?
Thank you. You know, I make my random appearances every now and then. So how's the show coming along, punk?
It's going great, man. I've been doing great. We just had a UWA Elite, the champion, Sean Davis McNellis. We have the fucking chat room buzzing. Chat room's going crazy. Matt Alvarez has his fucking, he's so happy. He's getting excited over there. He's thinking about moving to fucking Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he needs to stay where he's at.
Wow.
What?
Right, stay right there in California.
AJ, I'm trying to give you props, and this is the thanks I get.
No.
Well, he even said, AJ, I'm sorry to say this, but before we went on the air, Matt Alvarez said to me, he said, you know what, Eric, I'm going to say this right now. Don't let this get between, just let this stay between me and you. But he said Todd Frazel was a better co-host than you ever were.
I said no such thing.
Listen, I'm glad to hear that because you know what? I'd rather be a host of my own show than to be a co-host.
Ooh.
I'm better at.
But he said Todd Frazel was also a better host at any type of show than you were.
AJ. You know this is a crap full of lies. You know you can always listen to the show. AJ, you know you can listen to the show anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, you can download the show 15 minutes after it goes off the air. And you can hear the entire thing. You can hear everything that I said versus what dumbass Eric Williams said. You lying son of a bitch.
That's how things were done on this show.
AJ, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to get Matt going because every time I say something crazy, he gets fucking fired up. So yeah, what's going on, AJ? How you doing? I know I called you out last week. I just want to apologize, but
I feel like you're a traitor. Like you betrayed.
Well, sometimes what you gotta do is sometimes you gotta, you haven't been around in a while.
Don't come up to me like that. You know what? I have something for your ass, Eric Williams. You think this shit is over with? I heard what you said last week.
I'm telling you right now, AJ. I'm telling you right now, AJ.
Man, I've got something for you, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be that King of the Radio. It's going to be that failed attempt at a King of the Radio tournament. Okay.
All right, Mr. Golden Gravine. When was the last time you did a show?
Oh, hey, most of my listeners on the internet. Hey, I went out on top. I went on top, brother. Went on top. I didn't need
You know what? Show sucks. That's why it's not on the air no more.
Yeah. What happened to your show?
Yeah, my anyway. Show is still running.
Yeah, you run every 8 months and it runs.
Yeah, shut up.
you even
don't
had a big
Eric, I got something for you. I remember. Remember. I got something for you. Just
wow. I guess they both seem to hang up on each other. Eric was actually connected to the show through his phone, but I think in the process he forgot that he was on the show, and it connected, disconnected him, my former co-host AJ, from the show. Andrew, when he calls back in, would you like me to tell him that you said he's a dumbass? I can gladly share that information with him, if you'd like. I tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got 2 minutes left in the show. You never know what's going to happen on this show. You never know. Because Eric told me, you guys all heard him say it, right before the UWA Elite Champion came on the air, before Sean came on, he said that next week we might have not one, not two, but maybe three different guests from the UWA Elite promotion. I'm so fired up over what Eric and AJ were talking about before they got abruptly cut off, but I can't even pronounce the name of the promotion. Oh, my goodness. Well, I think they are back. Eric, what happened?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
You guys are back?
Yo, Matt, I'm telling you right now, I don't understand this. Like, I call into shows, right? And that was Punk AJ. He keeps trying to follow me and threatening me with text messages. I'm going to tell you this right now, though. I know what the problem with me and AJ is. You know what it is?
What?
AJ.
What?
Let's come to this realization, buddy. We used to be great friends on this show. We used to be cool as hell. We used to talk.
Really were good friends.
We met because of the show. And now it seems...
Matt kept telling me shit that you would say behind my back, and I don't like this shit, and I wish that you would come out about this fucking shit. Like,
well, you know, I'm going to say this right now. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is between me and you?
What's the problem?
It's Matt. That's the problem.
We got some shooting going on here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go off the air in about 20 seconds.
We're off the air.
If you want to hear what happened after we went off the air, download the show. Download the show.
I think what we're going to do.
Laughing. It's nothing funny.
I think what's going to happen is in August, me and AJ are going to come on this show.
We're
going to
run this show. Take care.
We're not off the air. Tune in next week. Same time, same place. Who never knows?
Why? You and AJ are gonna have a rap battle or something like that?
No.
How disrespectful, man. Is that really how you think of me?
All I gotta say, Matt, is come August, my contract's up. And
you
I have decided,
a contract with Matt?
I have a contract, and I'm gonna sign somebody to be my co-host for my new show, the Ultimate Breakdown Show, the UBS show, and you got it, UBS. You can BS anytime you want, but you can never leave. I'm going to sign somebody to be my co-host with me.
It's going to be Todd.
The one and only AJ.
It's going to be Todd. Why? I know you.
What?
I know you. I know what you do.
It's going to be the new, it's going to be Todd, it's going to be the man who...
Really? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're hearing this in the archives, I've got shit to do. I've got to get out of here. Take care. We'll see you all next week.